The state case is going to go on for a long time. Do you want to do it very first or whatever?
You guys, man.
Next case, number 10, 21-686.
The one after this one?
Yeah, sometimes part-time.
No, this one's going to be.
This one's going to be?
You're good.
I'm going to need five.
We're going to take a five, if you don't mind.
Okay, 5 minute break, sorry about that. Didn't mean to change your hearing.
Make this poor guy sit here for hours and hours.
You love it.
I don't have to pay him for it.
There you go. Shoot. Dinner's good. We should talk dinner outside. Go to dinner on Friday. Got family dinner on Saturday. Does anybody here want coffee? Or can Will, does anybody?
Anybody need coffee? I ordered.
No? Okay. Are you going upstairs?
I have to.
Would you put that in the refrigerator for me for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Thank you. When would I want?
Yeah.
What should if I just do that?
Thank you for your patience and waiting so long.
Remember, it's fine.
As you can see, sometimes they're beyond control.
Yeah, no, it's been interesting to watch. It's the first time I'm here, so.
The other good-looking guy.
Interesting.
You should at least have the procedure.
Yeah. Judge Wobner going on.
You're getting the full experience.
Little sugar, keep you going.
All right, I didn't need five.
Okay, are we ready?
Oh, we didn't shut it off. Yeah, we're good. No, but that's okay, we're good.
And the only thing I would bring up to the board before we start is Ms. Leith was not present when the oath was given this morning.
Oh, okay, then I will have to swear you ready.
Okay, do I stand up?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, I put it away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's your client.
You can do whatever you want.
You can if you want.
We'll try not to.
It's for her protection.
Excuse me. There it is, okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm, as the case may be, that the testimony you shall give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or under penalties of perjury?
I do. Thank you.
Okay.
John Grasso for the issuing authority with me is Officer Mark Wildman, W-I-L-D-M-A-N, now of the East Lyme Police Department.
Thank you. And you are, sir?
Oh, Attorney Michael Dwyer for the appellant.
Okay, thank you. All right, you may begin.
Thank you. A brief opening statement. This revocation followed a very tragic incident in which appellant and her spouse overdosed on illegal drugs at their home. She survived, he did not. The evidence to be presented regarding the incident and the aftermath of the incident is uniquely disturbing. With that, I would proceed to examine Officer Wildman. If he wishes to. Okay.
Okay. Opening statement.
Good afternoon. I will agree with the state that this does arise out of a particularly tragic incident, but I'd indicate to the board that the appellant has no criminal history, that with respect to her suitability, there is no evidence impacting her suitability. Recently, the event and investigation I believe the state is going to present arises out of a January 12, 2021 incident and investigation. No arrest followed the investigation, and the appellant has remained free from arrest or any further incidents since 2021.
Thank you. Okay, sir, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you. Officer Wildman, on January 12th, 2021, were you serving on the Weathersfield
Yes.
Police Department?
Yes.
For the police, Weathersfield Police Department?
Yes.
When did you transfer to East Lyme?
November 13th, 2023.
Now, on January 12th of 21, in the evening, in about 12 hours, about 6:12 in the evening, did you respond to a residence on Knott Street, Weathersfield, regarding a medical emergency?
Yes.
And what did you encounter upon arriving there?
Well, initially, the way it was dispatched was that there was a third party call that indicated that only one person was down within the residence. Upon arrival, I was met by a juvenile, I'll just say juvenile, the daughter of the appellant, and another male, the decedent, that was on scene. I located the appellant, or she directed us to a back room in the house. The appellant was on the ground, I believe behind a kind of like a rocking chair or a chair of some sorts. The decedent was in the chair, was not breathing. We then moved him to the floor, felt for pulse, started life-saving efforts. I did detect snoring respirations coming from the appellant. And then EMS personnel, we notified them that there was more than one patient. More EMS personnel began to arrive and took over care from there. And we began to interview and talk to different people that we could.
Well, let me question you about the juvenile you encountered upon coming to the scene. You identified the juvenile as the appellant's daughter.
Yes.
Okay, approximately what was her age?
If I'm doing the math correctly, I believe she was approximately 13 years old at the time.
Was she distraught?
Yes.
And do I understand you to say that this juvenile directed you to a spot in the residence where her parents were located?
Yes.
You there observed an unconscious male and also a female, the appellant?
Yes.
Okay. And do I understand you to say that you immediately notified police dispatch that there were two unconscious persons, not just one?
Yes.
Now, you referred to it as a third-party call that was received. What does that mean?
The juvenile on scene had called her friend, and the friend's father that she had called overheard the frantic conversation and then called 911 on behalf of the juvenile, and that's how the information became known to our department.
And when you first observed the appellant and the male, you heard what you believed to be snoring, what you described in your report as snoring respirations from the appellant.
Yes.
Did you try to rouse the male who was present?
I did. I don't remember it specifically, but in my report I wrote that I shouted out to him, and he did not respond.
Did you check him for any sign of life?
Yes, I checked for carotid and radial pulse.
Did ambulance personnel arrive at the scene?
Yes.
Did they also check him?
Yes.
What did you observe?
He did not have a pulse, and then one of the officers that was with me, and with the assistance of EMS, began CPR.
And did ambulance personnel administered Narcan to the appellant?
Yes.
And did an ambulance then arrive on the scene?
Yes.
Did you have, and were the persons, the two adults transported from the scene by ambulance?
Yes.
Did you then have a further conversation with the female juvenile that you've identified?
Yes.
What did she tell you had occurred?
We can object here, right?
I'm sorry?
We can object here?
Yeah.
Object, it's calls for hearsay. He's going to ask what the daughter said?
Yeah, it's an administrative hearing. So I'm sorry, it's a chairman.
If he has personal knowledge of what happened, he can testify to that. That's not hearsay. If he's saying what the daughter told him or told somebody at the scene and he witnessed that, he can testify to that.
For the truth of the matter?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I would also say it was certainly an excited utterance in the circumstances. The hearsay exception were that the standard. You spoke to this juvenile in an attempt to discover what had happened?
Yes.
What did she say?
She said that the appellant had been on the ground for approximately 12 minutes. The juvenile stated that prior to the appellant falling to the ground, the decedent had been unresponsive for approximately 30 minutes at that point. The juveniles say that she was in an adjacent room when she heard the appellant trying to wake the decedent. The juveniles stated that the appellant told her not to dial 911 and that she would wake the decedent. The juvenile stated that the appellant was wiping some vomit away from the decedent's mouth with a towel. That after the appellant fell to the ground, she called her friend, which led to the 911 call.
So the juvenile called a friend?
Yes.
Do I understand that the juvenile told you that she'd been instructed by the appellant, her mother, not to call 911?
Yes.
But that after the appellant fell to the ground and presumably was not fully conscious, she then contacted a friend?
Yes.
Okay. And what followed from the contact with the friend?
Remembering correctly, the friend's father overheard their conversation on the phone and then called the 911 to report the emergency situation.
Okay. You previously testified that EMS personnel rendered aid to the appellant on the scene. Did you see that she revived in part there at the scene?
Yes.
Okay. And that was she subsequently transported from the residence on a stretcher?
Yes.
Okay. Did you attempt to speak with the appellant then and there at that time?
Yes.
Okay. Did she answer your questions at that time?
No.
Speaking about the juvenile, was she visibly upset, crying, and shaken by what was going on around her?
Yes.
Now, several days later, later that night, did you go to Hartford Hospital to speak with the appellant further?
Yes.
What were you told upon arrival there at Hartford Hospital?
That the decedent had died, and that the appellant was still not aware that the decedent was deceased, so they asked that I not tell her.
Did you speak with the appellant?
Yes.
What questions did you ask her? What did you ask her about?
I was looking to gather more information pertaining to what had happened.
And what did she tell you?
We took what I thought was cocaine. The appellant continued to repeat, "It was so stupid, it was such a stupid idea."
Did she make any remark about the possibility of there being fentanyl in the cocaine?
The appellant did. However, I wasn't able to clearly identify what she was getting at by saying that.
Did she make any comments to the effect that she was, quote, doing a couple of lines together with the deceased?
Yes.
Okay. And did you ask her where they'd received this cocaine?
Yes.
And at that time, did she answer your question?
No.
Okay. Several days later, on January 18th, 2021, did you return to the residence of the incident to speak with the appellant again?
Yes.
Would you describe that conversation with the appellant, please?
Sure. I know the appellant was still upset by the conversation. Just trying to remember all the little details here. I informed her I was there to gather more events.
To gather further information?
Further information, okay. About the events.
And was she upset and crying and
in
discussing these events?
Yes.
And did she ask you if she was going to be in trouble?
Yes.
And what was your response to that?
That the appellant was not under arrest and she was not required to answer any of my questioning.
Okay.
Questions, sorry.
Okay. And what did she tell you about the incident several days earlier?
She told me that she had made a terrible mistake.
Did she tell you anything more about the incident?
She was adamant that the appellant and the decedent did not do any narcotics inside of the house, and that the decedent and the appellant had left the house to get cocaine to celebrate their new ability to refinance their home.
And did you ask her to provide you information regarding where the drugs had been purchased from?
Yes.
Did you state to her that there could be a batch of bad drugs, of bad cocaine containing other illicit substances such as fentanyl being distributed to others, and that could potentially hurt or kill more people?
Yes.
Was she willing to provide you any information as to where the substance that had nearly killed her and had killed her spouse had come from?
No.
What else or other did she have to say about the incident? Directing your directing your attention to refresh your recollection to the bottom of page 103.
Oh, absolutely. The appellant informed me that after they did the cocaine, they returned to the residence. The appellant informed me that the decedent went to the living room, sat in a recliner where he was later found. The appellant stated he did not, that she did not feel well, went to the kitchen to drink some Sprite to settle her stomach. The appellant noticed that the decedent was vomiting in the living room and became unresponsive. The appellant stated she began to try to pull him up. However, her knees became weak and she does not remember what happened after that.
Okay.
And that she remembered waking up to people yelling at her.
Did the appellant, drawing your attention to the first full paragraph on your case report of page 2 of your report from the 18th, did the appellant tell you what the hospital told her had been in the material that they'd ingested?
Yes, she told me that there was fentanyl in her system. The hospital had told her it was fentanyl in her system.
Okay. Did she ever tell you where that substance had been?
No.
Acquired. From where that substance had been acquired?
No.
Acquired. Thank you. No further questions for you at this time.
Cross-examination?
Thank you. And officer, I just have a couple of questions.
Absolutely.
They tend to be long, but if you don't understand, please let me know. Fair enough?
Absolutely.
Okay. And it's my understanding that you responded to the appellant's house on two occasions, first on January 12th, 2021?
Yes.
Second on January 18th, 2021?
Yes.
Okay. And then you also testified about a conversation you had with her at Hartford Hospital, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are those the three contacts you've had with the appellant?
Yes.
All right. And since that time on January 18th, 2021, have you had any additional contact with the appellant?
No.
Any additional contact with the appellant's daughter or the juvenile who was 13 at the time you arrived that day?
Yeah, no further contact.
Okay. When you arrived at the house on January 12th, 2021, I think you already testified that you were anticipating that there was one person down, but there was two people down, correct?
Yes.
All right. And you had spoken with the appellant subsequent to that and determined that they both had just returned from outside of the home before the overdose occurred?
I don't know where they were prior to, but they definitely, or from what the appellant said, they weren't inside the house.
Okay. And that I think you would testify that what she told you is that they had just returned home?
Yes.
Okay. And that she herself didn't feel well, correct?
Yes.
And that the husband began throwing up in the living room?
Yes.
Okay. And that she attempted to help him up, but then got weak and doesn't remember after that?
Yes.
All right. So presumably they weren't home very long. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Okay. And just getting back to that January 12th date, 2021, when you responded to that address on Knott Street,
yes.
Did you see any illegal drugs present at the home?
No.
Okay. Did you look for illegal drugs in the home?
We did, yes, we did a sweep to make sure there's nothing else inside the house,
right.
But nothing else.
Okay, and even in fact, in an effort to identify the appellant, went through her purse, correct?
Yes.
And you did find some prescription drugs, which she had the prescription for?
Yes.
But nothing that you would consider illegal drugs?
Yes.
And nothing that you thought had any investigative purpose for your investigation?
Yes.
Okay. Same question with respect to January 12, 2021. When you responded to the house, did you see any firearms exposed?
No.
Did anyone have a firearm on them, being the decedent or the appellant?
No.
any firearm in the purse that you went through?
No.
Okay. And to your knowledge, when you first arrived on January 12, 2021, and during the entire time you were there, did it become aware to you that anyone in the house possessed a gun?
No.
Okay. How did you become aware that the appellant was a permit owner?
I was notified by one of our detectives who continued an independent or coinciding investigation into the pistol permit holding. From my understanding, the detective had seized the appellant's pistol permit. I'm not familiar with any part of that process or how she ascertained that.
And who would that be?
I believe it was Detective Sullivan at the time.
And I know you left in 2023, but to your knowledge, is Detective Sullivan still with the Wethersfield Police Department?
She's retired.
When did she retire? If you know. If you don't, that's fine.
I don't. Somewhere, I would say, in the 21 to 22 range.
Okay. All right. And can you tell me, when is it that you learned from Detective Sullivan about the appellant's pistol permit?
In the following months, or maybe within the immediate time frame after the incidents. I don't know an exact date.
Okay. So with respect to a suitability of this appellant, was it Detective Sullivan's opinion that the appellant was not suitable?
Yes.
Okay. And she initiated that process?
Yes.
Okay. And told you, did you have anything to do with that process?
No.
Okay. All right. You're just here today.
I'm just here.
You drew the short straw. Yeah. Okay. So no firearms, and you were unaware that the appellant even possessed a firearm until Detective Sullivan told you, correct?
Yes.
All right. Also, January 12th, when you responded to Knott Street, did you contact DCF?
Yes.
Okay. And to your knowledge, was DCF involved in the appellant's family afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. Did they start an investigation?
Yes. I believe the appellant informed me that when I went back the second time to speak to her, that she was working with them to get back custody of her juvenile daughter.
Okay. And is that consistent with what you do as an officer? You file the report with DCF and they generally open an investigation?
Yes.
Okay. Other than contacting DCF, did you speak with them additionally about their investigation or about any of their findings?
No.
I know you indicated that you did speak with the juvenile when you first arrived, and I think you also spoke with her throughout the process of your investigation. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
Okay. And at some point you asked her whether or not she's aware of any past narcotics used by either her father, or by the decedent or the appellant. Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you remember what her response was to that?
I know I wrote it down. I believe she said that she does not know of any history of narcotics use.
Okay. And with respect to that particular day, January 12th, she didn't observe any illegal drugs or any illegal drugs being used, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And there were none ever recovered at Knott Street, correct?
Correct.
All right. So you don't know whether or not these drugs were purchased or how they were purchased or anything along those lines, correct?
I don't know.
Or who purchased them, correct?
Yes.
And as you sit here today, do you know whether or not the appellant even knew who the drugs came from?
I don't know because I didn't get an answer.
Okay. Right. But her answer to you was she didn't want to get anybody in trouble, correct?
Yes.
All right. So you don't even know if she had that knowledge?
I don't know.
All right. But when you spoke with Ms. The appellant at Hartford Hospital and on the 18th, I think you indicated that she said to you that she made a terrible mistake, correct?
Yes.
And that she was crying the whole time, correct?
Yes.
And was very upset?
Yes.
And obviously taking this very seriously.
Yes, I assume so.
I don't think I have any other questions for you. Thank you, officer.
Absolutely.
Questions of the officer by the board?
Do you know of any other overdoses in close proximity in time, cocaine with fentanyl, in your town? It could be related to where this was purchased from?
I don't know off the top of my head, but obviously it could do be something to look up. I know that there was patterns of overdoses, particularly in that area as well, due to our location.
I think you were trying to find out where they came from so someone else wouldn't die.
Absolutely, yes.
And she would not provide that information?
No.
Thanks.
You were the person that a few days later asked her about the possible source of the drugs that she'd ingested that night?
Yes.
And tell us again, what was her response to that?
I believe it was something along the lines of, I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
In fact, let me back up one sentence here.
Yes.
You indicated earlier that she didn't want to go into the details as to where the drugs came from.
Yeah.
I saw it something in the file to the effect that, and I want to know who said this to her, something along the lines that even though others might die too?
Yes.
And did that seem to change her opinion about revealing the source of the drugs, or what was her reaction to that?
That she didn't want to provide more information because she didn't want to get anyone in trouble.
So even though you reminded her that because fentanyl was involved in accidental deaths similar to this?
Yes.
If she didn't reveal the source, perhaps other people might die. That still did not change her willingness to cooperate.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions by the board? Okay, then it's your turn to present your case.
I'm just going to ask the appellant some questions. And can you tell us how old you are today, please?
59.
And we're here today talking about the event on January 12th, 2021. And with respect to that, have you since that time, were you arrested for this in any way?
No.
Okay. Have you been arrested for anything since?
No.
There's a suggestion that your suitability is not what it should be to possess a firearm due to this incident. Can you tell us what you learned from this incident?
Well, how one stupid decision, sorry. One stupid decision, 10 minutes, change your life. We were actually, had been out celebrating. A fella he knew, we were talking to him out in the parking lot because we were getting ready to head home. And, and we're so stupid and did it and just drove straight home, and as soon as I got home I was like, I don't feel good. And I would never, because I loved my husband so much and I loved my family, and I have to live with that every day, This is like I told the officer, I'm so sorry, but I pay for it every day because I sure miss my husband. sorry.
That's fine. It's understandable. And how long had you been married with your husband?
So that 20, well, we've been together 20 years, yeah. And then, yeah.
And then you've heard some testimony today about a 13-year-old who was present. Is that your daughter?
It is.
Okay. And I'm going to avoid using her name as well.
Yeah.
Sorry. Your daughter was 13 at the time. How old is she today?
She's be 18. She's 17. She'll be 18 in May.
Okay. And is she still enrolled in school?
She is. She's a high honor student. She's always been.
Will she be graduating this year?
She will be graduating this year. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We're pretty excited.
And you have continued to parent her?
Yes.
Okay. At some point, did DCF take your daughter away for a period of time?
They did. They had my, because I have two grown daughters, and they had my daughter stay with, you know, one of my daughters, and I still got to be with her, you know, every day. They just had to move her. Do you want me to keep going?
I'm just going to unpack it a little bit. So just as I understand it, you have three daughters?
Oh, you have three.
One juvenile daughter, two adult daughters.
That's correct.
And the juvenile daughter that was taken by DCF lived with the two adult daughters?
Right. Okay. So she lived with my middle daughter, actually.
And during that time period, were you doing certain things for DCF?
I would have stood on my head if they'd asked me to. I did all the drug screening, any class they told me to take, anything, I did it.
And was the purpose of the work that you did with DCF to get your daughter back in the home with you?
Yes, sir.
And did that occur?
Yes, sir.
And when did that occur?
March.
Of 2021?
Yes.
Have there been any incidents since March of 2021 with DCF?
No, okay. No.
And has your daughter continued to live with you since that time?
Of course.
I could just get a moment. I don't believe I have any other questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Cross-examination.
Just a couple. Let me ask the appellant regarding her questionnaire at arrest history. I see that you wrote that you were charged with DUI and that the disposition of the DUI in August 2000 was completion of the alcohol education program. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And referring to your questionnaire, I see that you the date that appears on the questionnaire at the bottom of the second page is August 30, 2021. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure she understands.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. So I'm looking at that's the second right. page of your questionnaire, and I see that appears to be your signature there, and that the date is August 30, 2021. Is that correct?
That's what it says, but that's...
Would that be the date that you signed it?
Just answer if you know.
Well, the incident took place...
Just answer, yeah.
That's the date I wrote down, yes.
Okay, thank you. No further questions for this witness.
Questions by the board.
Tell us about your drug use.
That was just that time, because we were out celebrating. I was a good mom. I'm a good worker.
No,
that's what I'm trying to tell you is what a stupid mistake.
But have you used cocaine before?
Back when I was a kid, I tried it. Yep, I did.
Yeah, because at the time you were 55.
I know, and like I said, I got to live with that.
All right, so when you say as a kid, when was that? What was the last time you used cocaine prior, or any illegal drug prior to this incident?
16, 17, tried it.
16 years old or set in 2017?
No, 16 years old.
At the time of this incident, were there guns in the house?
I did have, yes, because I had my permit.
Are you aware that being a user of or addicted to a controlled illegal substance and having a handgun is a crime? Or possessing a handgun?
Well, I guess at the moment I didn't think about that.
Are you aware of it now, though?
I'm very aware now.
And the other issue that I know is going to trouble the board is you had something very serious happen. Your husband died, and you wouldn't help the police try to figure out or prevent somebody else from having that same incident. And why was that?
Sir, at the time all of this happened, my head was spun in many directions. Not only was I losing my husband, but my daughter. You know, they had taken my daughter. And I was trying to get my head wrapped around what had happened. I needed to focus, you know.
According to the issuing authority, your concern was getting someone in trouble rather than saving someone's life.
I just needed to focus on my on what was happening for my family.
Do you know of anyone else who either... Did you buy the drugs?
No.
Did your husband buy the drugs?
No.
Did someone gave them to you?
Yes.
Someone who you know?
Somebody my husband knows.
Okay.
Worked with him.
Right. Do you know who it is?
If I see him, I know him, yeah.
If you had chosen to at that time, would you have been able to tell the police the name?
A first name? I mean, that's... But sir, like I said, I wasn't trying to be defiant or anything like that.
I
went through a lot, you know, and it's my own fault.
Now, he or she gave you some drugs that ultimately caused this. Did he give anything to anybody else? Was anybody else with you at the same time?
No, sir.
All right, thanks.
Did he partake also, the other gentleman?
I don't remember. To be honest, I don't remember.
Have you heard of the term trank before?
No.
Trank is fentanyl and Zazzaline, which is what was in your husband's blood. I'll assume it was in yours too. So that's cocaine, fentanyl.
Yeah, I saw it before.
And a tranquilizer. It was killing people in 21 and 22. And you had an opportunity to maybe save another life. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else?
Had you, the person that gave you guys the drugs, he was a friend of your husband's?
Yes.
Did they work together?
I think they had been on different job sites or something together. That wasn't like somebody that he, you know, always hung out with or anything.
Had you seen him before?
Yeah, here and there, yeah.
But never enough to know his name?
I didn't know his last name, no.
Do you see obviously it's a traumatic situation that no one wants to, you know, talk about or live through. But do you see why the board would be reserved in giving you your pistol permit back after a serious incident where someone has died?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. I do. I would understand. However,
am, you know, asking for some sort of forgiveness. I just need to be able to protect my home and my daughter. I'm trying to do it the right way, you know, the right way. And like I said, I do have to live with what happened, for sure. But I would understand that.
I will reluctantly ask you, how's your relationship with your daughter?
This is my baby. We're very close, all my daughters.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anything else? Counsel, you can make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
Okay, and I will keep it brief. I think everybody knows sort of all the facts here, and I think the police report was submitted. I would just argue to the board that this lapse in judgment, over 4 years old, should not affect her suitability. Generally, today, that she still has, she has since this time continued to raise her daughter, continued to do what she's needs to do, what she's been asked to do by DCF and others, and has successfully managed to recover from this tragic event, and without question, a tragic event that arose out of the poor judgment of both her husband and herself. So it is a certainly a lapse in judgment. I don't think anybody is here trying to deny that. But I would, on behalf of the appellant, argue that you know, she has a track history now of over 4 years where she's not getting arrested. So if she was a chronic drug user or somebody that the board needs to be worried about with drugs, it seems as if she would have gotten into trouble in the last 4 years for such behavior. That's why we provided the hair test that was performed during the DCF investigation. And as I'm sure many of you know, a hair test, unlike urinalysis or saliva, will test for the presence of substance quite a ways back. All of hers were negative. So I don't believe that there's evidence to believe that she is a chronic or habitual drug user, and that this is a single lapse in judgment that unfortunately she does have to pay for the rest of her life, and has a ton of consequences that arose from this. But that she is, in all other ways, since then, been a very law-abiding individual who continues, she still lives at Knott Hill, or Knott Street in Wethersfield with her daughter, works when she can, and is a responsible individual. She does have the past DUI conviction from 2000, but I think that predates the issuance of her permit. So I'd submit to the board that that she is suitable, despite this lapse of judgment that is 4 years old, that she's suitable, that she's here today to field questions, which is in a topic which is very difficult, and I'd ask that her permit be restored.
Closing statement.
Well, quite a tragedy, and you know, one certainly feels compassion for the appellant. But in a sense, this wasn't one incident, because there was an opportunity to do something about it several days thereafter, to make some possible good come of it, had she been willing to share the information she had regarding the source. And that wasn't, and she declined. And that wasn't the only opportunity she had. She could have had a change of heart days or months or weeks thereafter. She didn't. She applied for restoration of her permit less than 9 months later. The year 2000 participation in the alcohol education program really is not irrelevant, because it suggests that there is a potential pattern of substance abuse. And I would note that in her questionnaire at number 19, which reads, state here any additional facts which would support your case, state what you want the board to do and why you feel the board should grant your request. She doesn't put anything down. She's spoken here, but what hasn't been furnished is evidence of participation in rehabilitative counseling or a program of any sort, other than an allusion to what was required of her by the Department of Children and Family Services. But she says she got her daughter back in March of that same year, 2021. So whatever rehabilitative program she participated in came and went rather quickly. So in sum, the issuing authority feels that this is not a proper case for restoration of the permit. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
I'll just make a couple. So regarding the appellant's appeal, she has to appeal within 90 days, or she can't appeal, so that's not, shouldn't be considered an issue on when she appealed. That's by statute. If she doesn't appeal within 90 days, we can't hear her appeal, so that's not very relevant to the case. We have one, regarding not saying anything, there's one, some appellants that say, I'm a suitable person. That's all they say. There's one attorney sort of, that's what they tell us, I'm a suitable person. Things like that, I'm not taking too much account. And I am struggling a little with the nexus between the permit and the incident. It's very tragic. There wasn't a firearm involved. I think we have some case regarding. One thing we didn't ask, and probably should have, how long she had a permit. I think that is somewhat relevant. That didn't come up. But I did see once, a couple years prior to this, in Weathersfield on the Silas Dean, before it turned into the Harlan Turnpike, right in that area, in which a very 22-year-old woman was saved by RPM after she crashed into the center barrier, first time I saw it used. And the ability, maybe, again, the day of, that's, I can see not wanting to say anything. But questions by the officer regarding maybe being able to help someone in the future, choosing, making a conscious decision not to say anything weighs a little bit also. But I do have a struggle between the nexus between the incident and the pistol permit.
Okay.
I'd say, and I'd share that personally, the opioid epidemic and these type of drugs. I have a little sister who's troubles with addiction, and my mother passed away trying to save my sister. So there's so many different aspects of how this impacts life. This situation is a little bit different, but I can only put myself in that place and see it from a different perspective. So I agree with the Colonel. That it's maybe not totally related, but the ability to save a life of someone else that may be experiencing the same thing, would have been nice to see that information offered up if it was possible.
Just one, I'm sorry, just to say one possible nexus is there was a gun in the house, and they, I think she said that they didn't actually do the drugs in the house, but it was shortly before coming in. So we didn't ask how it was stored or anything like that with having a 13-year-old in the house and parents using drugs, so.
Well, first of all, let me express our sincere sympathy for your loss. I mean, it's a horrible situation. And, I know you're living through it and will live through it. And my heart goes out to you. What bothers me is what I mentioned before. I mean, you said today that the source of the drugs, it wasn't a friend, wasn't like a relative, it wasn't somebody that you were particularly close to or your husband was close to, it was an associate of your husband. It wasn't somebody that was threatening, a drug dealer was threatening to kill somebody if the information of the source of the drugs was revealed. And it was told to you by this officer that people could die if the source of the drugs wasn't revealed, and you refused to reveal it. And that weighs heavily on me. It's not directly related to whether or not, you know, your pistol permit should be reinstated, other than the fact that it goes to your judgment. And that, and the history that you've had over the years as a teenager with cocaine use, the rehabilitation thing you went through, and this particular incident, I put the whole thing together and I say, is this person have the right judgment, temperament, etc., to possess a pistol permit? And I come back on the negative side of that. I'm sorry to say that. Anybody else? Okay. I guess we'll vote. Okay. Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
And I vote for the issuing authority at this time. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Final case, number 11, case number 25-011, Board of Education.